It's 7 minutes to nine on breakfast. High time to go to the movies, I reckon, on a Thursday. And this week, two films about larger-than-life women. Jason DeRosso, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Fran.
Your first movie is an Australian film starring Kate Winslet called The Dressmaker. And I think we've discussed The Dressmaker on breakfast before, not as a movie, but as a
person. A book by Rosalie Ham, and it's a homecoming story. It's a story about, I guess, a clash between cosmopolitan sophistication and small town provincialism, the sort of thing that's driven a lot of Australian films in the past, whether it's the sort of lurid fever dream of Wake in Fright or the sort of kitsch road movie of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. Here we have Kate Winslet playing this Australian woman with a flawless accent, I should add. Really great in this role.
Well, better than Meryl Streep.
Much better than Meryl Streep. She's really good in the role. She plays this woman who comes back to the hometown that sort of rejected her for various reasons that we discover later in the film. But she comes back via her travels in the sort of fashion capitals of the world. So she has a sort of suitcase full of haute couture, much of which she's have sewn herself to prove that. And she moves straight. She moves in with her senile mother, played by Judy Davis. Wonderful performance from Judy Davis as well. And one of the first things she does is the house is above the hill of this little hamlet, which is, you know, sort of wonderfully, fantastically sort of production designed by Roger Ford.
So it's country Australia.
Country Australia, 1950s country Australia, this kind of fantastical vision here in this film of a kind of corrugated iron, gothic sort of small town place. And one of the first things she does is gets up on the hill in front of the house and just starts lobbing golf balls into the hamlet below. I mean, there's no love lost between her and the townsfolk, who are this kind of, quite a sort of depressing vision of 1950s small-minded Australia, really, mostly. Though Liam Hemsworth does play a local boy who sort of catches Kate Winslet's eye. But a lot of the people in the town call her a murderer. We don't quite know what that's about until later on. So there's a mystery to be uncovered. There's also various awakenings happening. There's the sensual awakening of the dressmaker herself as she sort of, there's this blossoming romance in the film. There's the rekindling of a mother-daughter relationship. And there's also a kind of mass sensual awakening on one level of the women of the town as they sort of discover the joys of haute couture as well.
The fashion of haute couture. Lovely.
Now, this is directed and adapted for the screen by Jocelyn Morehouse, who was in the early 90s one of our most promising directing talents. She came out with Proof, which starred Hugo Weaving. He's playing a cross-dressing cop in this film. She went to America, made a couple of films there, and for various reasons sort of fell off the radar, though her husband, Muriel's Wedding director PJ Hogan, sort of continued to make films, and he's producing here. It's great to see her back. The performances are wonderful. Dom McAlpine's cinematography is great.
It's always great.
Oh, it's beautiful here. But there is something about this film that I think feels a little out of time, and it's not the 1950s setting, obviously. There is something about the sort of the assembly of quirkiness and camp that does feel like it's come out of a sort of time capsule from the mid-90s.
When we were
bit.
Doing Strictly Ballroom or Priscilla,
so.
All those
mean,
kind of movies.
Yeah, I do wonder if this vision of a kind of very Anglo, pre-wog, pre-blackfella sort of small-town, small-mindedness has kind of had its day. And I wonder if this vision needed to be pushed a little bit more. Plus, it's quite convoluted. I mean, the book was a kind of gothic novel and, you know, gothic novels sort of have the right to be convoluted.
Yes.
In a way. And that's almost part of what the genre does. Here, I think it works a bit less well on the screen. It does feel a little bit overwrought towards the end. And there are just some sort of gestures that the film makes that I think would have felt edgy 20 years ago, but just don't quite ring the bells now, I don't think.
So, I've got to say, though, Kate Winslet, Judy Davis, Hugo Weaving, fantastic lineup.
Absolutely. Rebecca Gibney, Barry Otto, Sarah Snook. So it's a great cast, but my reaction to it is very mixed.
Okay, well, we'll see how that goes down. Also out today, Mistress America, an American indie that's a little bit quirky.
Yeah, actually very quirky. It's kind of reminiscent of a screwball comedy in some ways, maybe crossed with a sort of Woody Allen film or something. Well, that's not surprising, perhaps. It's from director Noah Baumbach and his muse, I suppose, Greta Gerwig, who plays the lead role in this. She's also co-written it with Baumbach. It's the story of a college freshman who befriends her stepsister-to-be, who's played by Greta Gerwig. And this woman is a kind of larger-than-life figure who lives in Manhattan, has all these sort of plans and schemes, is a bit older than this college freshman. So this sort of sister relationship is very much a relationship across a half-generation as well. But as the sort of film unfolds, it's soon pretty clear that Greta Gerwig's character is more talk than action, and there's a kind of melancholy layer beneath her. I think as a character study, it works pretty well. There's a very indifferently directed middle act that really doesn't handle the screwball element very well, but it's bookended by two nice sort of first and last acts. I think it's worth seeing. It's called Mistress America.
Positives and negatives from Jason Day, Mistress America and The Dressmaker. Jason, thank you.
You're welcome.
Jason DeRosso, and you can hear more from Jason on the Movies on The Final Cut on Fridays on RN at 11:30 in the morning.